Trevor Zamparelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Now, unlike the way a lot of us grew up, these days people's parents try to answer kids' questions without traumatising them. It's a new fun thing that everybody's trying. So, what is the best way to react when a kid starts talking about their own weight in a negative way? Psychotherapist Colman Nocture joins me now. Colman, how are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Lovely to see you in person. It's great to have you in. So, tell me about that. I'm really interested in this. What are the things to keep in mind if you're child or your teenager starts talking about their own weight?
Right, I think from the point of view of if it's about weight and body image,
yeah.
There's, again, what we're finding out is children are getting older, younger.
Yes.
So conversations around this, which, like, traditionally I work a lot with young people with eating disorders, mm-hmm. and traditionally you would first year, second year, secondary school, mostly you'd see the onset of that.
Mm.
In the last 5 or 6 years, probably seeing it now, fifth and sixth class.
Oh, wow,
so
really?
So there's a significant... So how you talk to a teenager versus a child is different.
Of course, yeah.
Obviously in terms of the context that they bring it up. If the child, and I'll be frank, if the child is underweight and has no observable weight issues, mm-hmm. and they're concerned about weight, I would be thinking about red flags in that regard.
Okay.
Other children who may be struggling with their weight may want to do something about it.
Sure.
Always the emphasis has to be on health, not weight.
Of course.
So the idea around all the narrative around being healthier, being more active, having a better nutrition is much better than kilograms, stones and pounds.
Yeah.
Right? So the first thing is you avoid all of that.
Okay.
The second part is our body image is directly related to how we feel. So you could go out one night and you put on the black shirt and it's a Friday night, you're looking forward, you're going out with your mates, it's going to be a great night, and you look in the mirror and go, I look amazing. You might be going out the next night and the same shirt on, and you're not really feeling it, you're not really, and it's saying, this is tight on me and I just don't like how I look at it.
Uncomfortable,
so our body image is a signpost to a problem. Mm. It may not be the problem.
Okay. Oh, that's interesting,
So when children are talking about issues around food, weight and shape, generally, if it's problematic, there's something in their lives that they feel overwhelmed by.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be growing up, it might be peers, it might be just life in general.
Yeah.
And they want to control something.
Mm.
And the first thing that we think around to control is food, weight and shape. Because the magazines, the influencers, everyone tells us skinny and happy.
Everywhere,
right? Eat less, move more equals happiness.
Yeah.
Right. So children as young as six can identify that slimmer people do better in life than...
Uh-huh.
people who are not slim.
Yeah.
So from the point of view of, it's that narrative is really early on, you're trying to kind of counter that. So if somebody, why do we all go on a diet in January? You know, why do we get the new tracksuit and make all these?
Yeah.
Because we're kind of feeling lousy. It's a gloomy time of year. We've just overindulged over Christmas. So it's new year, new me.
Mm.
So oftentimes children will, and teenagers be the same. They'll say, if I want to change how I feel, this is how I do it.
It's real insidious, isn't it?
It is, and it's insidious in culture because we do it as ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, from the point of view of, and I would oftentimes caution parents to how they describe their own weight and talk about their own diets, and you know, the parents saying, "I can't eat that," and you know, and
that'll seep through into, like, the kids pick that up straight away.
Well, you're providing a template.
Sure.
For,
yeah.
If I want
to
be happy, I want to be thin.
Yeah,
and,
of course.
And, child's going to borrow on that philosophy and say, well, that makes sense. I need to do that too. And so one thing, and I think what's really important is that we don't demonize food.
Uh-huh.
Right? So good and bad foods. Mm-hmm. This is a ridiculous kind of a conversation. There's no such thing as good and bad food. There's good and bad amounts of food.
Sure, yeah.
So from the point of view of, you know, a Mars bar is fine, but three of them a day before breakfast is not. And so it's about portions. It's about, you know, having a measured and middle measured approach to food that's helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So demonizing and polarizing things into you can't eat those sugary stuff because that's bad creates a fear within the child.
How realistic is it, right, that that adults will actually stop obsessing about their own weight and shape and image and stuff in front of their kids or even with themselves? Like, it's too powerful an industry, isn't it?
I don't think that's ever going to change.
No.
And I think we're the toothpaste is out of the tube.
Exactly.
But from the point of view of, you can measure your conversations around your children and manage that a little bit better. And it's not even something we may be self-conscious about.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? In terms
of...
Yeah,
for sure.
You know, if you're buying ab toners and doing all these things and your children are seeing that, by all means do that. But maybe... reserve those conversations for your own time, if that makes any sense, or have them in your own head. And again, I suppose from the point of view of the pressure on teenagers is getting greater because there's much more of a focus on the body now, right? And I spoke about this a few weeks ago. The fashion sense at the moment is, I spoke to a group of young people who were heading for a teenage disco. Yeah. They were 13, 14 years of age. It was their first thing.
Yeah.
And the girls were like, there was fake tan, there was nails, there was, you know, and they were saying that the more makeup you had and the older you looked, the better it would be. Now, all of this pressure was coming from their peers, right? So if you wore jeans to the school disco, you were banished. You know, that wasn't something that was to be acceptable. This is 13 years of age.
Yeah.
And so the pressure around looking older and all that sort of stuff creates what's called a maturity fear, right? And this is the thing that lots of young people will experience, especially young girls. So they're in fifth and sixth class, they're GAA jerseys, they're doing their camogie, and now they're into discos looking at this and going to concerts and alcohol conversations maybe starting.
Yeah.
Lots of them feel this is too quick. I'm not ready for this.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, starvation can stop the growing process. So you're stopping the onset of a menstrual period. You're stopping development. You're stopping that. So it's almost an attempt to put a pause button on a world that you feel is moving too fast.
Yeah.
And that maturity fear is real. And lots of young people, maybe if they're hanging around with kids maybe a year older than them, you'll find that there's a
because the
a
gap
worry.
Between those years
in that year,
when you're in that year is
gap
so
between
huge.
A 14-year-old and a 15-year-old is huge.
Enormous. Yeah.
And what we have noticed, unfortunately, through COVID, was that the food conversation became way more of a focus. You have nothing else to talk about, bar what did you eat last night?
Exactly.
And lots of children took it into their own hands to manage their own diet. So if you'd you're usually doing your camogie training twice a week and now
that's
you're
it.
Left to you and a Joe Wicks video, you know, knowing when to stop.
God.
They really struggled with that. And we have seen an increase in eating problems in the last 2 years especially.
So we've talked about, we're talking there about, you know, the type of things that influence kids and, you know, how they see themselves and how they feel about, you know, themselves and stuff. And you were talking about, you know, starvation in terms of a means of stopping that kind of leap into adolescence or into maturity or whatever. What are the factors that you'd consider with a kid who is overweight and concerned about it, or and one who is normal weight but feels they're not, if you know what I mean? How would your approach differ to those two people?
I think the child who's maybe struggling with their weight, it is about healthy lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
So encourage them to do that. And again, there's a difference. I remember being explained what the difference from a teenager's point of view of encouragement and nagging.
Yeah.
Nagging is you should go for a walk.
Yeah.
Encouragement is let's go for a walk.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So the idea around, you know, maybe not make it about them and say, right, the family, we're all going to jump on this bus a little bit, right? So we're all going to eat a little bit healthier.
Yeah.
We're going to watch what we're eating. We're going to go for a walk in
we're
the evening.
We're not targeting you
and we're going
as
to
the problem,
So it doesn't personalize it into that child. And you're coming on board and you're trying to create a healthy lifestyle choice.
Mm-hmm.
You're not saying, I'm delighted you brought that up. It's been on my mind for ages and you really need to lose a few pounds.
Yeah.
That's not the conversation you have.
Yeah.
The child who isn't in any way overweight and has nothing to lose and is starting to talk about it, it is really about trying to educate them on body size.
Okay.
Because children sometimes confuse growing up with getting older with getting overweight, right? Because they see the kilograms going up, but you're not taking into account you're 2 inches taller than you were
last year. That's true.
And again, I would say fashion outlets have a huge part to play in this. Mm-hmm. If you're going to buy clothes, and colleagues have said this to me, buying clothes for a 9-year-old, it's impossible not to get tiny little shorts and crop tops and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
That simply isn't out there. So when you're trying to fit into clothes that are unforgiving, you're going to become much more body conscious than you would be. You know, we all mentioned during the heat wave, you know, we're kind of going, oh God.
I can't dress for this. I don't know what to, I've a million things to wear. Do you know what I mean? But like in my head, I'm like, I can't wear any of these because, you know, I feel horrendous in all of them, you know, that kind of way.
And again, I think that's the idea that, you know, when we are forced to not be able to, you know, there's a comfort in a baggy clothes. There's comfort in a tracksuit. There's
for sure.
For the reasons other than it's comfortable, you're not that self-conscious about it.
Yeah.
And so from the point of view of, we need to allow children to have that space to feel comfortable in their clothes rather than setting a target that almost creates a problem in terms of creating that self-consciousness about body shape.
I'm really interested in, because you've spent an awful lot of time working, you know, with kids and stuff and families. And have you seen much difference with how young people of different genders deal with body image?
Yeah, I mean, again, I would say 20 years ago, the exception as opposed to the rule would have been a boy with an eating problem. Not so much now.
Really?
Much, much more commonplace would be that. again, a different emphasis. Some of these lads might be preoccupied with the kind of Love Island ripped body. Mm-hmm. So they're not necessarily looking for weight loss, but they're looking for percentage body fat.
Sure.
They're kind of hoaxed into influencers by protein shakes and pre-workouts. These are the kids going around with the cans of Monster before their workouts and all that. So they're almost kind of adopting a professional bodybuilding approach when they're 16 years of age. And again, that's hugely problematic from the point of view of those are not representative of real life bodies.
So the idea
that if you watch something like Love Island or whatever it might be, it's not just that, but I'm just using that as kind of a...
It's a very obvious example. Yeah.
The chiseled torso is not what 90% of us have.
No.
And so if you see that as the bar to normal, then you're going to feel really uncomfortable in your own skin in that way.
And it does seem like there's a focus on, particularly with stuff like Love Island, there is a focus on, you know, there's never any body difference in Love Island, you know, that kind of way. You'll never get anybody over a certain, you know, size or whatever. But the focus is nearly always more on the females and how it's you know, there's no body diversity or anything like that within the women. But actually the male kind of cohort kind of gets forgotten about there because they're also seeing this ripped, you know, unattainable physique. And as you say, if they're 16 and they're on a professional bodybuilder's kind of regimen, can't be great.
Yeah, and again, it's a separate topic, but I think in some ways kind of the children's sport is not keeping children in sport.
Yeah.
It's becoming too competitive. So we're driving children into gyms. Do you know what I mean?
That's
a much less attractive option for a 15 or 16 year old.
And less social.
Side is gone.
Exactly.
But in terms of if you think children or teenage boys are not aiming for a similar goal than the girls. And men, you boys are way more body conscious now and image conscious than they were before. You can see me, I don't go to a barber very often, but I was in one recently and there was a few lads in their 20s and like the amount of detail they wanted this guy to give this fade
the
and
whole
give this
thing,
stuff. Whereas the short back and sides, what I was familiar with, is kind of gone from there. So men are much more, tuned in.
That's interesting.
Or younger men.
Than they used to be.
Than they would be.
Yeah.
And so with that comes more self-consciousness and more neurosis around it, really.
Can I ask you what advice you'd give any young person who might be listening now who's having negative thoughts about their weight?
Again, I would always say, body image is a signpost to the problem. It's not the problem.
Okay.
Right. So, you know, we all chase that rainbow. If I just was thinner, everything would resolve in my life and I'll fix. And I won't feel anxious about that. And I won't feel worried about growing up. And I won't feel... It won't happen.
No.
You know, it's a false confidence. You feel better for it. But you're not addressing the issues.
No.
And again, to parents who gather around the signpost and concentrate on the food and not where that signpost is pointing to.
Yeah.
That's the problem. If I can just indulge you, I was trying to feed my own child years ago. He was pre-verbal and I was trying to give him something in one morning and he was refusing and pushing the spoon away and I thought, oh my God, he's sick. So the temperature went in and And then I tried to kind of give him something like toast and he was refusing that. And then I tried to give him Cocoa Pops and he refused that. And I was kind of panicking going, he's got crumbling.
Why isn't he eating? Yeah, exactly.
And then I realized there was a Peppa Pig toy behind me and that's what he was looking for. So when I gave him the Peppa Pig toy,
then
he ate the baby rice, he ate the toast and the Cocoa Pops. So the refusal
of the food
is
something else
saying,
the whole time.
I need something.
That's
this is not it.
Funny.
And if you don't see where they're looking and what it is, because the communication of food restriction is all is not well. I'm not okay.
Yeah.
But if you just concentrate on the food, you'll miss the point.
Does that make any sense? Coleman, it's so interesting. It's just kind of because it is so huge and I know it sounds cliche, but everybody, this social media and just the bombardment of, you know, that ideal body type to everybody, and they're getting younger and younger and younger. As you say, you're now seeing this in fifth and sixth class rather than kind of first and second year or whatever. It's really interesting. So thanks so much for chatting to me today. I really appreciate it. And it's a really important thing for us all to try and get right. Coleman, thanks a million.
Jennifer Zaffarelli. Weekday morning from 9 on 2FM.